Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and at it, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
So if I were to say cat's b****s.
Yeah, please don't do that again.
Can you do it in piglet?
No, definitely. Like, can it's say, the same thing.
Matt Light would like to join us and talk about the of the cat.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that Matt make Matt? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
But I didn't know. I thought everybody liked the Dawkin. What was this saying there when they went to Mbappe or whatever? And it was in heat and it would always go...
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tandem.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
My D is bigger than yours.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, girl, this got to be bad, Lord Jesus.
Anthony Edwards' D is bigger than yours. His D is enormous.
Yeah.
Seven is
dominated
nuts,
the world,
though.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Go put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both more.
Curtis and Shine.
35 is what my arm length taped out at. So
that's pretty long.
That's a great length.
Now
let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good hello, morning everybody.
Hello. Good morning.
All right, morning everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W E E I. Got my people.
W E E I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up, what up?
Thursday.
Yes, it is.
Celtics proved that they can win a playoff game without their superstar last
that
night.
That they did.
Yep.
Mm,
yep.
Yes. So, and Kristaps Porzingis has his shilling moment, the bloody bandage moment.
Yeah. I mean, he was leaking.
And on the broadcast, they were like, the unicorn got his horn chopped off. Oh. Like, it was a perfect location for that bandage to go.
That boy was leaking.
Yeah.
I mean, that Orlando team is just not going to give you much of a challenge. So
no.
I guess this is going as most expected.
Uh-huh.
But you got... Good game from Jaylen Brown.
Really
great
good game.
You got a huge game from Kay Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you got – I love angry Al Horford. Like, I thought you got a great game from Al Horford last night in that
All you guys, your role players played good.
Yeah.
D. White played good. Obviously, P. Pritch. They just – they have two guys, you know, and it's Paolo and Wagner are their only two players.
And as you would say – they stank from the three-point line.
They do stank.
They are not going to beat you with threes,
no.
Orlando. So it will
it
series
looks
moves.
Like they just found a basketball when they're at the three-point line. Like it looks like if I threw it to my mom, she'd just be like, what are you doing?
It was especially poor last night,
mm-hmm.
the shooting of the Orlando Magic. So,
and what I really liked last night was they stand up, like the Celtics guys all stand up for each other. Like when Caldwell Pope had that incident with Al Horford and he just goes to the other side of the court, people are cheering for him and Brown gets in his face. Like, the fact that these guys are all standing up for each other, obviously Al was sticking up for Jason when it happened in game one. I just feel like they are all gelling at a perfect moment.
Yeah.
And I like it. And I know we'll hear from Joe Mazzulla, I think, during They Said It, but Greg may have been right about his Joe Mazzulla's feelings of Jason Tatum.
Really?
Like, what do you mean? Well,
from game one.
I still don't agree with it.
What he said.
Yeah.
I want to hear what he said.
Yes. I love when Courtney inadvertently steps in between a battle.
I want to hear what he said. Because your thing was that he was like, stop embellishing, right? Was that kind of where you were going? All right.
I said that yesterday. Right. I felt like that. But I don't know. He was... Jason Tatum obviously was either hurt enough physically or emotionally to sit that one out last night. So
I still think he was hurt physically. You do? But Joe Mazzulla's feelings towards him were loud and clear.
There was a point yesterday where, like, 2-3 o'clock, there was some scuttlebutt on the X machine that said that Tatum was going to be a go.
Right. Right.
And in my mind, I was like, wow, this is him saying, I was like, I had the tweet ready, ready to hit the send button about how this is Tatum saying, you know, F you, I'm going to play, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he didn't play and the way Jaylen Brown started that game, honestly, the rest of the game, he was good too, but scoring, whatever, 8 of the first 10 points.
Yeah.
It was a, you know, don't even think about a chance he may have, Orlando. Like, you think that our best player's out, like, I'm here. Right. And I thought he really took that, and that was a huge part of an otherwise nice night for the Celtics.
Yeah, they also, I felt like they put him away when they came out after the half, and that the first 2.5, close to 3 minutes of that third quarter, they put him to bed. So,
11-0.
I'll tell you what I didn't like last night, Curtis. And that was the head coach of our football team enjoying the playoff basketball while he should be in the war room.
No, I loved it. That was like Barack Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner while SEAL Team 6 was going after bin Laden. Don't let anybody know what's going on.
Him and Robert?
What if an emergency call came in and the opportunity to move on up arrived and Mike Vrabel missed it? Because he's watching the Celtics play last night.
That's what Elliot Wolf's for.
Elliot Wolf was waiting outside in the car to drive Robert and Mike Vrabel back to Foxborough last night.
But he had his phone as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Celtics win, and we will talk about that today. It is finally draft day, which means that after tomorrow, the end of draft talk on this radio, or at least on this show, maybe not on this radio station, but there's a lot to talk about as the Patriots get ready to pick where they are going to pick, whether that ends up being at number 4 or whether they take Wiggy's advice and move on up.
Mm-hmm. I'm so fascinated, like, with this draft, and it's been a while since we've been in this position, because last year I think we all felt pretty confident they were going to take a quarterback, and then a couple of years ago when they were picking at 15, it's not the same when you're in the top 5. I feel like the direct, because we're either going to come away from this feeling really good or we're going to come away from it, I don't care what people say, the majority of fans are going to come away from it feeling like, what the hell? Why did we just do that?
I would disagree with you on the what the feeling of the fans is. Like, if you're suggesting that, and it seems like that it's going to be Will Campbell, right? So if
major dud,
I think disappointment is not the reaction. I don't think is going to be what the hell are you doing?
No, the fans are going to be disappointed.
I think they're going to be upset and disappointed.
And they're going to be like, "What the hell are you doing?"
But I think the fact that Mike Vrabel is there enjoying the game last night, at least tells me that they've decided who they're picking, and they're pretty sad. He's pretty satisfied and happy with it. I think, but maybe not. Maybe I'm judging activities and not results. Is that what I'm doing?
But what could you possibly be doing right now? You have the 4th pick.
Curtis, you got to work the phones right up until the bell rings.
I think he has a cell phone. I'm not sure.
Did you say this about Belichick when he was in, like, Barbados on the beach?
Belichick negative has never happened from Greg once in his life.
I was a fan of Bill Belichick, Sean. Not going to lie.
That's true. I know you were.
Great ending.
I feel like the cheese stands alone. The man's record is pretty good.
It's pretty good. You're right.
It's pretty good.
Drafting record was okay, but overall record was great.
Yeah, overall.
But what if there is a team that
They're in the results business over there, Shine. Yep.
So you won't be disappointed if there is a team that trade up to 2 or 3, and then the Patriots stay at 4.
I'm gonna be very disappointed if the pick is Will Campbell, because I agree with you, and I defer to you on these kinds of things, and also on Pornhub searches.
Yes,
that. You can get a good O-lineman in the second round and be very, very happy with who you got. And you can have the same expectation that you're going to have for somebody like Will
Campbell. Yeah, we talked to one yesterday, Matt Light.
Yeah, we did.
So it's that's why
But if you love Bill Belichick, then you love guys that are boring that just help you win games.
That's true. But I don't think Bill's forte was the draft. I mean, I think
it was. For the first, his through 2012 – drafting at the end of the first round every year, he basically went 1,000. Lawrence Maroney, maybe, but, getting Seymour at 6, which was kind of great, Wiggy's idea. Mm-hmm. But those drafts were amazing. Getting the 2012 draft in the first round, getting Hightower and Chandler Jones. I mean, he was Devin McCourty at the end of the first round, Vince Wilfork at the end of the first round. I mean, he did a phenomenal job in the draft for a long time.
How would you guess Cam Neely feels about the way the Bruins have drafted during his tenure?
Wow.
I think based he up, asked for that reporter to come meet him after.
What, Kevin DuPont was dragged into his
Did you see him when he was walking off the stage? He pointed and gave him the finger, come with me.
I saw Seabass was a little defensive yesterday.
But can I ask why you're defending the 2015 draft?
Like, I don't know. It's weird.
It's such a weird thing to do. Like, what? Who cares?
Well,
was that Dougie Hamilton?
2015? No, that was when they had the three consecutive.
Yeah, it was Zboril, Sinishin, and DeBrusque.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't DeBrusque 2016? Chime? Anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'll double check.
We'll get to that, I'm sure. Definitely during They Said It, and maybe I'm gonna get to one thing that was said yesterday during my lead.
Yeah, Zboril, DeBrusque, and Sinishin were the 2015 draft.
Okay.
The three picks right in a row, and following that, you could have gotten guys like Matt Barzal.
But, as Cam said yesterday, Don Sweeney was brand new on the job, Shime. He didn't understand how to draft yet at that point.
But even that conversation, he said, we were all standing behind the stage. We should have regrouped. What the hell are you talking about?
Also, it was 10 years ago now. What are we doing?
Right. It's also very interesting to learn that coaches have a shorter shelf life than the front office. That was
true, yes.
Yeah.
It's like producers in radio. Same kind of thing. All right, well...
Is that a veiled threat?
No, Shime, I continue to refer to you as the man on the come up.
I know, I just got nervous. You're throwing out producers of shelf lives, I got nervous.
If I am correct about it, you spent last night not at home being slapped around by your fiance, but out with potential clients trying to earn some business for this radio station.
I did exactly that, Greg. I was doing my darndest.
And you know that Chime feels confident about it because it's the first day he showed up in shorts this season.
Okay.
And
it's also warm out.
Well, you're feeling yourself today. Well, I understand it's draft day, too.
Go get that bag, big dog.
Yeah.
Do what we can here, Wicks. Trying to make the brand as popular as
possible.
There
you go.
We didn't even coordinate today. We're both shorting it.
Look at that.
How'd it go? Did you close the deal?
We're in great shape. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Before you closed it, did you ask them to slap you?
No, I didn't.
Do you celebrate when you're able to work a revenue deal? Do you go home and put on some kind of leather pants and get slapped around a little bit by Lauren?
No, I was a little too late for that last night, so I'll have to say that for the weekend.
When you got home, be honest.
Post-draft.
Did you pick up a couple slices of Roni and then do the Globo gym and put the nipple things on and zap yourself every time you had a bite?
I call Shime, Shannon Shop.
You know, Curtis, you brought up pizza. He doesn't eat it anymore. He just smells it. He buys it and smells it.
I actually did. Yeah, last night when I was in the suite, I grabbed a couple pieces of those pizza, and I was just taking whiffs of it the whole time.
Like Dodgeball, Ben Stiller's character, smelling it and rubbing it all over his body.
Great obscure reference, Wiggy. Here is Brandon. Brandon, good morning.
Taking my phone call. So I don't know if anybody touched on this, but this is what I would do if I'm GM. I'm trading out of the first round. I'm calling Chicago, and they could take my fourth pick in the first round, and I'll take their 39 pick. So in the second round, the Patriots have 38 and 39 to choose from. So me, I would get Jonas Saviani from Arizona. This is a guy that is a tackle. He can play both sides of the field, whether it's left tackle, right tackle. And then I would draft Caleb Johnson from Iowa Hawkeye. We're talking about a 6 feet guy. Comparison to James Conner and Todd Gurley. And then in the third, we're looking at probably Nick Nash or Dante Thornton Jr. for a wide receiver, and then you fill out the gaps in the rest of the rounds. But yeah, that's something I would consider doing. But hey, it's their call.
Okay, so from a philosophy point of view, I guess, and we certainly can talk about this morning, there are going to be those who say, if you are going to take Will Campbell at number four, then that is a waste of a pick, and you might as well trade down and get the value so you get an extra pick somewhere.
I didn't really understand his call, because he said trade out of the first round. Yeah, why would you trade your number?
I don't think you ever want to trade out of the first round.
When you got four.
But you can trade down and get value if you think you can get – if that's going to be the position that you're going to draft for – then you can get it where you get it.
The issue is, though, Greg, it seems like, according to reports, from what I'm hearing, it's like you're only getting 70 cents on the dollar. So in normal years, you'd be getting great picks to move down. This year, it's not the case. Like, it's just because so many teams want to move down instead of move up that it's becoming, you know, classic supply and demand. It's
way cheaper to move up. But you'll get a second round. I like the theory of trading down with maybe New Orleans if they want a quarterback, and then you'll have the ability to still take an offensive lineman there, but you'll also have the ability to maybe roll the dice on, you know, I think Tyler Warren will still be there. Then still think by trading down, you'll be able to pick up another second round, and you have 2 second-round picks, and if you want to package those to come back late into the first round, that's something you could do to get your offensive lineman, or you could just stay where you are with 2 second-round picks, take an old lineman at the top of the second round, and then depending on where you get that other second-round pick from trading down, you could do what you'd like with that.
Do you think if Vrabel wasn't next to Kraft, he gets an ovation last night? I'm being serious.
I think he probably would. Was the response not warm and welcoming?
No, it was. But that's like when the commissioner used to come to Fenway and he'd bring Ted Williams next to him. So it's like you can't boo Ted Williams.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on the show this morning, including our leads coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And then they set it at 7:20 this morning, and we will discuss what Will Campbell said about those who continue to small arm shame him and other things during They Said It this morning. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45, and that includes what science says your wife or your husband does with their face that ensures a 94% chance that you are headed for divorce. Red Sox front office report with Sam Kennedy at 9 this morning, and of course, Hill Notes at 9:20. So be ready, be up and be ready this morning, and leave a voice note on any topic directly on the Odyssey app. You see the microphone in the upper right-hand corner of the app, and talk to your heart's content with a voice note for us, and we will play those back at about 9:20 on this morning show. But to get us started, here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Mario's Roofing. The Celtics take game 2 against Orlando 109-100. No Jason Tatum, but Jaylen Brown took care of business. He led the guys with a double-double, 36 points and 10 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis was behind him with 20 points. He did go down after taking a hit to the head, resulting in a lot of blood. He took his free throw shots before heading to the locker room to get stitched up before returning later. So the C's up 2-0 as the series heads to Orlando. Game 3 is tomorrow at 7 p.m. The other playoff games going on last night ended with the Rockets tying up their series with the Warriors. Now, Jimmy Butler did suffer a pelvis injury in that one. He'll get an MRI on that.
Huh, that looks scary.
Yeah. The Cavs pulled ahead up 2 games on the Heat as well.
I thought the Heat were going to make a little run. They cut it to like 10 or something, but then then I was kind of like DPing or, you know, between that and the Red Sox game and then the Heat. The Cavs just kind of took off with it.
The Red Sox dropped 1 to the Mariners. 8-5 was the final at Fenway. Tristan Casas hit his second homer in 2 days, and Sean Newcomb went 5 innings, giving up 4 runs on 8 hits while striking out 8. The Red Sox will try to take the series today. First pitch is at 1:35 with Garrett Crochet taking the mound. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Brooksy joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual pregame show.
Marcelo Meyer with another bomb yesterday, Curtis.
I can't wait to get these young guys up here, Greg.
Casas with another bomb, too. He might be using that torpedo bat.
Maybe.
Is he heating up?
Maybe he is. I think is that back-to-back three-run homers? Three-run homers. All right.
Into the NHL playoffs, the Kings are up 2 games on the Oilers. The Stars take it to overtime to go up 2-1 on the Avalanche, and the Capitals take a 2-0 lead over the Canadiens. And happy draft day. Great movie. I stand by that. Pats pick 4, and the excitement kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern in Green Bay. Shime, what time's the show start for you?
8 p.m. tonight. It'll be Arcand, Mego, Fitzy, and myself here for the WEEI draft party. We'll cover every pick all night long. Be good to go.
Are you guys kind of sad we don't have another day to preview the draft?
I am, yes.
Homeowners, choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 46 degrees, cloudy sky, afternoon high, sunny and
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Me too.
Chime. Complete risk of Hillman jinx on that.
What do you mean?
Carlos Santana is, as we speak, in the hospital. Postponed a couple shows and getting on in years.
Oh, no.
I
wanted to shut that off as soon as it started.
I didn't know this. Okay, well, you want to craft up a list of all the old guys that are on the brink of death for me? So that
Shime, if you
songs?
Kill Carlos Santana, you will be held responsible.
77.
Right?
I'm never going to stop playing smooth.
Wow. Who, if anyone, decided to play it?
Wow.
He's got the vid.
Oh man.
So yeah. he's been
don't take ivermectin. Yeah.
So no further Carlos Santana.
All right, I'll lay off for a bit.
Until he's out of the hospital, if you could. The great Maria from Watertown has called the show this morning. I'm sure on the press conference yesterday by the power trust of the Boston Bruins. Hello, Maria.
Good morning, everyone. What a flipping clown show it was yesterday. A clown show of epic proportions, with Cam Neely being the head clown, who when Charlie Jacobs went off script, had to step in and correct the record for Charlie. Charlie sounded like a totally out-of-touch billionaire boob.
Yep.
And I have to give credit to the Boston beat writers, because for the first time in a long time, they asked hard, pointed, and direct questions. And you could tell from that trio that when those questions were poised of them, there was one of three reactions. Either one of them wanted to poop their pants, and that was Charlie. One of them wanted to jump off their chair and fight someone. And Sweeney was the what? What do we call Don Sweeney? The fall guy? Because he seemed to be the only one that wanted to take accountability, which was a word that was used quite often yesterday. But I'm not a fan of Kevin Paul DuPont, But when he asked Charlie about ticket prices, and that billionaire boob provided what is the equivalent of a tone-deaf response, that to me, folks, confirmed everything that I already know about the Jacobs family. They care not one iota about the fans that go in and out of that building and spend their hard-earned money to watch that scene.
I was going to get to Charlie Jacobs. Maybe I still will, and that whole back and forth during my lead. But Don Sweeney is the one who, in from my perspective, came out looking the best after yesterday because he took the blame. He put it on the organization. He did not get defensive, and he said they need to do better and they can do better. I don't the defensive way that Cam Neely was responding to stuff was weird to me. I don't get it. Like, do they not understand the expectation of the fans and that they have failed to deliver?
But I told you their thought process on it is getting to the playoffs. In their mind, that is a successful season.
Right, but that's not relevant to the fans. Like,
I know that, but
I feel like no fan base is more loyal and more tolerant of patience and waiting and being supportive through tough times than the Bruins. And no ownership group has taken more advantage of the fandom that enjoys their team than the Bruins with the Jacobs. Charlie Jacobs yesterday saying, "We take accountability," and then proceeding not to take accountability for the entire press conference. There has been no changes at the top. There is nothing to suggest that they will do anything but maybe reevaluate if they have three draft picks in a row behind the stage of the draft. Like, I found the whole thing to be a car crash I couldn't turn off.
And Curtis, to that point, because those Bruins fans show up even on terrible, terrible years, and to address the rising like ticket prices and the way in which they went about that yesterday, where they're saying like we're standing by that and there's not going to be any change there. It's going to go back into the team in the way of concessions and parking and everything else. Like, it came across so tone deaf to me, because if I'm a Bruins fan and I'm working really hard to make sure that I can keep up with my season tickets or bring my family to a game or two, even on off years, like, that's, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear like you guys are doing everything in your power to put a great product out there and also make it accessible for any fan that wants to go to a game.
Yeah, no, it was, I that is not the way I would have handled that if I were either Charlie Jacobs or Cam Neely.
And Greg, it wasn't like it was the immediacy of the end of the season. It was a week to cool down.
Yeah.
Like, they had time to prepare for that. And that was the, like, of all people, isn't Cam Neely on that stage because fans relate and love him?
Yeah.
So why is he the heavy? Like, I don't get it. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, we're going to hear a bunch of what was said yesterday during They Said It at 7:20. And I would assume during a lead or two on this morning's show. Hello and good morning. If you are watching this program, you can do that every day on either YouTube or on Twitch. And this show on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, then go see the team at Springer's in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and get the deal of a lifetime and tell them you listen to this show, because they listen to this show every single day as well. At Springer's Jewelers.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Chime, I like it on draft day, but no idea who the artist is.
Really?
No.
Wow. That would be Courtney's Hall Pass, Drizzy Drake.
Oh,
yeah. Aubrey Graham.
That is Drizzy Drake.
I had a couple sources in Green Bay that said Andy Hart was dancing to that at Culver's.
From Canada.
That he is.
Yes.
Toronto.
That?
Yep.
Yeah.
Toronto, Canada. I'm surprised you don't recognize his voice.
Six.
You know who my favorite rapper from Canada is?
Snow.
Yeah, Snow.
Informa.
Yosef.
I don't really know. Is he considered rap or more of a reggae artist?
Well, maybe.
I think he's more of a reggae artist.
Probably the short-lived reggae rap genre.
That was a one-hit wonder.
Is he alive?
Yes.
No, I believe so.
Greg, speaking of Canada, my favorite entertainer from Canada, Tom Green. Whatever happened to him?
Tom Green, I think he got like a new reality show
I think he did his own documentary on himself.
Okay.
Wait, was that the guy who like was just an absolute heartthrob, or is that Tom Jones?
No. He was on MTV, started on MTV.
The least talented celebrity of all time.
I didn't really find him funny, but a lot of people did, Curtis.
I did, but I was in like middle school. So.
He was on MTV like how Carson Daly was on
MTV?
He's
like Russell Brand, right? Like, he kind of started off...
Russell Brand's not...
No, I know he's getting canceled, but he, like, kind of, like, more of a comedian. Okay. Then he tried to get into, like, movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, he did a movie or two. His big bit was he would surprise his Canadian parents, and they, you know, they didn't know that he was coming to visit. Am I right about that, Curtis?
Yeah, I don't know. He was like a Canadian Ali G.
That's why I would say, like, that's kind of what he was, like, you know.
Leads this morning brought to you by Subaru and the Subaru of New England Love Spring event, which is here now. Spring into your next adventure in a 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hey, Sean.
My bum is on the rail, bum is on the rail, look at me, my bum is on the rail, my bum is on the man, bum is on the man, it's a lot of fun to...
That is the bum song.
The
bum bum song by Tom Green, and obviously they were able to figure out where his bum had been because of the lipstick.
That's what Eminem references in one of his songs, right?
Yes.
My bum is on your lips, my bum is on that one?
Yes. Hold on a second. You spend every single day like an absolute prude dumping out of things I say, and then you just said your bum is on my lips. I don't think that's appropriate. Right.
True. I didn't say anything wrong.
I mean, so, you know, I can't mention cat's derriere,
right?
But you could talk about A eating.
No, I didn't say A eating.
You kind of did.
I thought you weren't able to explain
an action towards a body part.
That's not what I was doing.
Bum on your lips.
You can't give somebody a nice kiss on the derriere?
You said kiss my ass?
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. All right.
Anyway. I wasn't talking about the action.
Okay.
Which is a whole mess.
Bum on your lips, also soon to be released, Dale's book on Patrice Bergeron.
Your lead this morning, Sean?
Greg, good morning. I'm thinking about tonight's draft. I'm super excited. It's like Christmas for me. Everybody knows this, how much I love this. I know it's not a popular take right now, but I believe Tet McMillan's going to be the best receiver in the draft.
Wow.
I think he's the best offensive weapon outside of Ashton Jeanty in the draft, and I'm going to be really disappointed when he falls past the Patriots at 4 and probably falls all the way to 8, 9, 12, somewhere in that range, and a team takes him, because I think he's going to be really, really good. I'm convinced about it. It's one of the guys I'm planting my flag on. I believe in him very much so. And to me, it's going to be really disappointing to watch the Patriots take a guy at left tackle that may or may not be good. I don't really know. His tape's good, but his arm length stinks. I don't know. I think it's a waste at number 4, and I would rather take a shot on a guy who's really talented that plays a position that's going to help his quarterback even more.
I feel that way about Ashton Jeanty. Like, I think you're missing an opportunity. Wiggy talks about it all the time with Saquon Barkley. Like, you're missing an opportunity at number 4 to get a guy who could be a really, really, really good player.
Right, and Saquon Barkley was on a team as talented or more talented than the Patriots and did nothing to help the Giants. He was great when he was on a super team with the Eagles. He is the definition of a luxury item.
Okay,
he was good on the Giants, though. They just didn't add.
They just didn't change their outcomes because the team wasn't good.
They also didn't have a quarterback.
Right,
like, that's the difference.
They didn't have a quarterback, and I think
they won a playoff game. I mean,
I think if you look at the Patriots with Drake May, I think a lot of people think that, they have a quarterback. So if you add a running back of his caliber to that type of team that already has a quarterback, and then you it makes the receiver's job much easier.
It also makes, for one more season, makes Drake May's job a little bit easier.
Yeah, and then you can add, and I always add the element of being able to sprinkle Drake May's legs in there with Jenty.
Curtis, what's the matter?
I think I just don't think that Jenty is going to be a game-changing performer with the Patriots. I think that he would be a nice thing to have. Maybe in a couple years you get a running back, but what did we see with Drake May and Jacoby Brissett before him last year? A quarterback that basically had no time to operate an offense. Mm-hmm. And Drake May is also a guy that's been injury prone. Have we seen that slightly?
No, he got a concussion. He's not injury prone.
Right.
Okay, God, I feel like I'm talking to myself, but it's
it's true. He got a concussion and he wanted to go back in the game and they said no.
Okay. A guy that has been injured in his first year generally is a bad sign for players that get injured in their first year in the NFL at the quarterback position. It tends to reoccur, not always. Joe Burrow's been fighting that one for a while. Wouldn't you agree, Sean?
Joe Burrow's been fighting injuries. Drake May did not get injured. It was a concussion that he could have played through and wanted to play through, and the team held him out.
Do concussions get progressively worse?
Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah, sure, Curtis.
Okay,
yes.
So you want someone protecting his blind side.
Yeah, I agree. And Curtis, in normal drafts, I would totally agree with you. If Joe Alt was in this draft, I would have my pants off ready to draft Joe Alt.
Please don't. No.
But he's not.
He's ready to go winning the poof for Joe Alt.
Yes, I would.
If I showed you tape of two guys and you didn't know who they were, you wouldn't be able to discern Joe Alt from Will Campbell.
Yes, I would. I 100% would. Joe Alt is an all-pro level. Joe Alt is an all-pro level tackle, whereas Will Campbell might be a guard at best. Like, that's the difference.
The man has watched all the tape, Curtis.
You're damn right.
Multiple times.
I don't think Joe Alt gave up a sack in 4 years at Notre Dame. He's pretty good.
No, I mean, Will Campbell has not necessarily been the best when it comes to his numbers.
Well, they're not even saying he's the best O-lineman in this. Well, there are some people that will say.
Like 9 penalties, 19 hurries. Yeah. You know, I mean,
Joe Alt didn't give up a sack, I believe, in 4 years at Notre Dame. But they're saying that there are some analysts are saying there are other linemen that are better than Joe Alt. I look at it, yes, listen, I know, Jenty, you can get me on that train. I want Tyler Warren, but I'll get on the Jenty train. I think he just makes things much easier, and you could still get your offensive lineman in the second round that could be your franchise left tackle. Yeah. Because what's the difference between Will Campbell and player X that you select in the second round versus Ashton Jenty, running back, and then running back X you select in the second round? I think there's a major difference.
Well, Will Campbell yesterday, with a response to those like Scheim, who continue to small arm shame him, and we will hear that during They Said It at 7:20. Thank you for your lead, Scheim. Lead from Curtis, lead from Courtney, at least, coming up next. Draft day, all day, here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. In fact, the WEEI afternoon show. In the afternoon, Scheim, the WEEI afternoon show in Green Bay, bringing you right up until the draft. In the afternoon. But right now, we are on the clock, Curtis, when it comes to leads.
I think Andy and Ted were at, like, they crashed a wedding party before it yesterday.
Wonder how the food was.
Well, Scheim, Jackson's job at your wedding is to kick out the crashers.
Nice. Good job.
And also, if they were at a wedding, just a life hack from me. You have unlimited time to give a gift.
Yep.
I thought you were going in a different
direction.
Your
presence is presence enough.
That is correct. Scheim, are you accepting questions on your mock or the mock of others?
Absolutely, always.
Okay, this is Mark from Connecticut. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys, how we doing? It's draft day. I can't wait tonight.
I know.
Wiggy.
Yeah.
Tyler Warren should be the draft pick tonight because he is the security blanket that Drake May needs in this offense. But I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think that they just – I don't know why they won't do it. I just have that feeling that should be the pick, but they won't do it. I wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy I've been on from day one. I think, listen, Ashton Jeanthey, I think he's a tremendous player. But running backs do take a lot of wear and tear on their bodies. And if you can have – look at – and at least for us here, we go – look at the relationship that Brady had with his tight ends throughout his career. Obviously, starting with your boy. And then you start to see that whether it was Gronk and what he was able to do. Look with Patrick Mahomes was able to do in his relationship with
Travis Kelce,
yep. George Kittle. If Tyler Warren is a matchup nightmare and you could get him with a young Drake May, I mean, these two guys could be tearing up the league for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah. All right, well, Curtis, your lead this morning?
All right, we did this briefly with the Ken and Curtis show on Saturday, inspired by the events of our midday show, which doubled their ratings year over year. Congratulations
to
Jones
and
Keith. They did?
Wow.
Good for them.
Excellent show. Listen to it every day, as I do. So, my top five Patriots draft picks of the last 25 years.
Okay.
Number five, Deion Branch, second rounder out of Louisville. Should never have left, thanks to whoever you want to blame for being cheap. Was a Super Bowl MVP, well-documented. Number four, Vince Wilfork, 21st pick in the draft, probably a Hall of Famer, unbelievable nose tackle. Number three, Gronk, second-round pick, greatest tight end in NFL history. Now, number two, I have to give partial credit to Wiggy. Richard Seymour, out of Georgia.
All right. Jeez, I thought he was going to be your number one.
And then number one, I wanted to go back a little bit further so I could give Tom Brady credit, but in reality, I guess I'll just do Tom Brady emeritus. So, yeah. Tom Brady number one. But, yes, so 5-4-3-2-1, got, I don't even know what I did, Deion Branch 5, Vince Wilfork 4.
Gronk 3.
Gronk 3, Seymour 2, Brady 1.
It's a good list.
There you go. I like that list.
I mean, Tom Brady, sixth rounder, how can you not? I mean, really.
Yeah.
Probably the greatest pick of Bill's career.
Right. But he didn't get the job done against the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
So. I would think so. Yeah, I mean, I would think
to be able to identify a guy like that in the sixth round and to be able to figure out somehow that he's going to be the GOAT, I mean, that is unbelievable skill on the part of Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that was...
You might ask why he would let him sit for 198 picks, but who's worried about that at this point?
Yeah, that...
All right, Curtis, excellent lead on draft day. Courtney, by the way, I don't know, did you do something different? Like, in Twitch and on text and YouTube, everybody talking about how your hair is fire today. So
thank you. That's very nice. I saw some people say, like, different strokes for different folks. But,
are you accepting compliments today on the show?
Always. Okay. Yeah, thank you. I gave myself a blowout last night.
Same.
You just blew out your back.
Okay. I head to my bachelorette party today, so I'm heading right to the airport from here.
All right.
So I needed my hair ready for...
So you're not working tomorrow?
Correct, yeah.
On the day after the NFL draft?
Yeah, we've been over this quite a few times.
We have? Okay.
And again, I don't think anybody's tuning into the show to hear my draft takes. I'm glad Shine will be here.
Okay, Shine will be here tomorrow. You are off to this is the one... That has the naked servers, the butlers.
Maybe topless. But I don't know.
Palm
I don't know
Beach?
If that will happen. Yeah, I'm on a 1 o'clock flight, but I'm going to try to make it 11:30.
Oh, really?
I think I could do it.
Do you want to get down there for extra penis straws?
Or no. Like, there's just a dinner reservation at 6, and if my flight right now, I won't make it.
It's a big draft day today, so leave out about 9:15.
I don't know.
Wait, don't.
My dad did say, Courtney, just leave before the last segment. I said, Dad, I could never.
Numbnuts over here, not the real numbnuts, the other numbnuts, calls me soft when it comes to my management technique, and now he's telling Courtney to blow out of here at 9:15.
Yeah, no one's gonna trip
on
him.
If you get on a 1 o'clock flight to, where you go, Florida?
Yeah.
You'll be there by 4.
Flying through JFK.
How long
is that?
Why would you do that?
A direct flight to Florida. Every flight is direct.
Because I didn't want to miss today's show, so I made sure that I got... The only thing I could get was not a direct. So there is a direct at 11:30. If there's anybody listening that works at Logan and can just scoop me through when I get there.
Do you have TSA pre-check?
Of course.
Yeah. You should be fine.
And by the way...
I hate that flex also.
Greg, Wiggy was doing something for the show. He's encouraging her so that for the final 45 minutes we have something to mock for the for her.
I know. I was
setting
saying,
up the final three segments of the
Curtis,
show.
I was saying it because
I feel you, but I don't want to.
No one's gonna care.
Right.
Around here, it's like, hey, we're like we said, we're soft around here, right. So they're gonna be like, all right, let her go. She's got to get there early. So I would say just leave at 9:15.
Right. No, I don't want you to have to go through JFK.
Yeah,
God.
Just take the 11:30.
No, it's wasn't.
Subaru of New England text line 978 text to Santo. Have your bags ready.
Oh, thank you for asking. I actually made a point to close said bag before I left so that he didn't have to do so, but he will be having them down in the garage in car so that I can just drop my car, get in his, and he'll drop me at the airport. We discussed that yesterday.
Does he not have to work? Or?
No, he's working.
Well, no, he won't be working.
He works from home on Thursdays.
Oh, well, works from home. I see.
Thursdays and Friday.
He's just taking a break while he drives to the airport.
Is that a scheduled break with work when he drives you all the way over to the airport?
All the way over. It's going to be like a 6-minute drive.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
And by the way, Cordy, over under 50 pounds for the bag.
Oh, way under. It's just a carry on. I know Wiggy hates that. But yeah, just a carry on.
So wait a minute. Bachelorette party,
yep.
Florida.
Uh huh.
Starting tonight.
Yes.
How many outfits? I'm going to over under on outfits.
6.
No. I would go way over 6.
Way over that.
I would guess you probably have 10 outfits.
No, 5.
Yes.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, 5 outfits. 5. I packed very well for this.
So it must be strictly bikinis all all weekend
long.
That's what
Tommy Tabs likes.
Yeah.
Because no. Tommy Tabs will not be there.
You said you're going down there Friday and Saturday.
I'm going down today. We have a dinner reservation. There's a small group that's getting there tonight. Small reservation.
Right, but you're there for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Can you come back Sunday?
Yes.
Have you guys pre-chosen the designated sucker who will be buying you drinks all weekend?
No.
Or do you find him when you get down
no,
there?
No, I don't think we'll have to do that. We're a bunch of ladies who have good jobs. No need. Right. We're taking care of the bride.
When you meet the poor dude tonight, all of you out, nobody is going to have a boyfriend or a husband or anything.
No.
We're down here. We're a group of single girls.
Wilding out.
Dating Show Mary will be down there. She's already down there, actually.
I have a show idea for tomorrow.
Yes.
Tonight, when you're out and about, you ask all the ladies at the Bachelorette their Patriots draft grade. And then we air it tomorrow.
That's a great idea.
I think they'd all have great ones.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, you know what? We have to take a break.
Okay. And let me tell you, this group of gals, very football heavy. So you'd actually be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think you should do that.
I will.
Maybe you'll bump into a baller. Yeah.
No, I'm saying like they're very knowledgeable.
$25,000 a cheek. Shannon might be down there.
Well, a couple of the topless butlers actually played in the CFL.
And Courtney.
Yes.
I just got a text from the stadium you met before a concert at Gillette. He said he can get you Doug Mirabelli treatment. From here to Logan.
Oh.
He'll give you the license.
Okay.
All right.
So now you should definitely get on that 11:30.
Like, you deserve that. Like, you deserve a state police escort.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go. Okay.
Wow.
All right, good. So we locked you in on that.
Okay.
Curtis, thanks to that listener.
Yeah, thank
of course.
You.
And we'll come back. We'll get to Courtney's lead, Wiggy's lead, and my lead next.